Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
Hello and welcome to this Echo educational podcast on prognostic factors for ulcerative colitis. My name is Sophie Restellini and I'm a gastroenterologist from Geneva, Switzerland. As you know, treating IBD is challenging as even though the diagnosis has been made, the future course of the disease is often unknown and unpredictable even between individuals diagnosed with the same subphenotype of the disease. IBD are in fact heterogeneous diseases in many respects. First, the evolution can vary a lot during the first 10 years. Some patients present a decrease in the severity of their symptoms over time. Some present with continuously active disease and others have recurrent relapses. Also, the disease severity and localization at diagnosis as well as the serum biomarkers do not correlate with long-term outcome such as mucosal healings. It made it therefore very complicated to establish the best management. Furthermore, in the absence of widely accepted and validated outcome score in IBD, current studies have used a broad range of outcome measures, thus limiting comparability as well as reproducibility of the data. We have a difficult question to answer in managing our IBD patient. Should I expect my patient to have a mild or severe form of the disease? How aggressively should I treat my patient? Do I need to start a biologic, and if so, which one and when? And actually, the reality is that the answers that would be right for one patient might be terribly wrong for another. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. A conventional step-up approach, meaning starting with milder treatments in response to disease flares, is appropriate for a patient with an indolent disease course. However, this approach will undertreat patients destined to have more aggressive disease. Conversely, treating all patients with a top-down approach, meaning starting early with the most powerful immunosuppressant and de-escalate afterwards, would be unaffordable in many healthcare systems and expose patients destined for mild disease to the risks of side effects of unnecessary treatments. It is then necessary to individualize our care and adopt precision medicine. Prognostication is in fact one of the four major areas of precision medicine in addition to diagnosis and follow-up, treatment and prediction. Prognostication helps to profile patient as best as possible in order to determine the best therapeutic decision. I think it is important here to recall the difference between the prognostic and the predictive factors because in many cases these terms are used interchangeably even though prognostic and predictive factors focus on two different aspects entirely. A prognostic factor is a marker that provides information on the likely course of the disease in an untreated individual. The development of disease prognostic markers is complicated because of the absence of widely accepted and/or validated disease outcome score. Defining disease outcome in IBD is very challenging given the wide range of factors contributing to the patient condition. On the other hand, predictive factors are defined as markers used to identify subpopulation of patients who are most likely to respond to a given treatment. In this podcast, we will summarize the current progress in the field of disease prognostic factors in UC, highlighting the main challenges to implement it in our clinical practice. So we want to predict the disease course for ulcerative colitis, but which existing clinical or serological factors should we use? Let's first identify which clinical markers are available in ulcerative colitis. This is progression in UC as defined by proximal disease extension has been reported to be associated with more severe disease course. Based on most recent literature, we know that progression from left side UC to an extensive colitis can occur in up to 34% of the patient and that two-thirds of the patient will need an hospitalization within the 10 years of diagnosis and 15% needing surgery during this period of time. Based on this observation, many studies in UC tried to find clinical parameters correlating with disease progression and risk for surgery. Patient requiring steroids or immunosuppression, being a non-smoker, and being diagnosed with primary sclerosing cholangitis have been associated with proximal disease extension. However, both positive and negative predictive values of these parameters were very low, limiting their relevance in the clinical practice. A shorter time from the onset of symptoms to disease, particularly when presenting as acute severe colitis, has been reported to predict a risk for a failure to respond to treatment with intravenous steroids. Whilst clinical parameters and disease presentation at diagnosis has been found to be of limited value in predicting longer-term prognosis, numerous studies have shown that disease progression and early response to treatment within the first 3 months from diagnosis might be more valuable. Similarly, failure to achieve remission at 3 months implied a 80% risk for the requirement of treatment with biologic or major surgery within 18 months. This suggests that clinical disease behavior during the first 3 months post-diagnosis is indicative of longer-term prognosis in UC patients and therefore likely to be highly valuable to guide future treatment and patient management. What about serological markers? Several prognostic serological markers have been proposed for establishing a potential correlation with disease outcome in UC. The most known serological marker is the perinuclear antineutrophil cytoplasmic antibodies, PANCA. It has been identified as a potential prognostic factor for frequent relapses and a more severe disease course. But after its discovery, many studies have refuted its effectiveness to predict overall disease prognosis. However, a high PANCA levels would be useful in indicating a higher risk of chronic pouchitis after colectomy. No correlation was found between disease progression outcomes with CRP or interleukins. Interestingly, prognostic biomarkers are more reliable for acute severe colitis. The combination of hemoglobin and CRP, along with disease extension at diagnosis, predict the risk of acute severe colitis. Hypoalbuminemia at diagnosis and disease severity at onset seems also to predict future acute severe colitis. But here again, we should keep in mind that the performance of those predicting parameters were low, limiting the potential clinical utility. Mucosa-derived molecular signature have been tested in their disease prognostic value. Mucosal TNF-alpha expression combined with histological disease activity scores at the diagnosis have been reported to predict of severe outcomes with positive and negative predictive values of 0.89 and 0.87 respectively. However, such parameters are difficult to implement in our routine clinical practice, and validation in larger independent cohort are still expected. It has become clear that prognostic of disease behavior and long-term clinical outcomes are still very challenging. Until now, several factors have been proposed to predict disease evolution, but for multiple reasons, few if none are used in routine practice. Many decisions are still based on clinical tools that have poor predictive performance. The lack of clinical utility of current biomarkers may have several explanations. First, predictive markers require long-term scale prospective studies. Second, to know if a potential marker would be useful clinically, it is important to consider its predictive performance, such as sensitivity, specificity, and not just whether the association is statistically significant. A critical step then to assess the predictive performance is that potential markers need validation in a fully independent cohort with adequate number of patients to be statistically powered. And finally, considering the diversity of IBD, it seems unlikely that a single marker could be applied to all patients. But perhaps the most important obstacle is the fact that our knowledge and the understanding of mechanism underlying IBD remains limited. At this point, if we want to make real progress in the development of disease prognostic factors in UC, the heterogeneity and complexities of large omics datasets must be addressed in structured and unbiased way through systems medicine. This approach may better reflect the complexity of IBD pathogenesis, integrate many different features from the same individual, including genomic, epigenomic, transcriptomic, proteomic, metabolomic, and microbiome. And this will build a comprehensive molecular map of an IBD patient. Also, the coordination of such a network of clinicians, scientists, and bioinformatician will be challenging. Significant progress has been made, providing reason for hope to find better prognostic factor in the future.